Some years ago when I was in seminary, I had an episode happen early on in which every year we had an evaluation. And in this one particular year, I was with my formation director and I was receiving some of my evaluation remarks anonymously from faculty members or professors or former or other students. And I got this one anonymous comment that said this: "Chad laughs too loud." And my formation director and I just stopped at that comment and we bust out laughing. Father Johnson wasn't on faculty at the seminary at that time, but had he been, I would have thought it would have come from him. But then I felt somewhat vindicated a few years later when Pope Francis was elected. And he always has that great smile, doesn't he? And he wrote one of his first encyclicals entitled "The Joy of the Gospel." And he has a few great lines in there. One, that Christians shouldn't look like they're always coming from a funeral. That we ought to have a joyful countenance as we're walking throughout the world. And then he even says that Christians ought not to be sourpusses. And he actually had the Latin translators scratching their heads of how they were going to translate sourpuss into Latin. But Francis has given us a great example of joy. Earlier this week, I was struck, I was shocked by another anonymous comment that hit national news from just west of us in St. Anthony, Minnesota. I was struck by this news when I read it, that someone had put anonymous letters in their neighbor's mailboxes, and they did so with this message, that they should be cautious of decorating their homes with Christmas lights this year and putting up decorations, because that act might be harmful to other people. That decorating our homes around the holidays, around Christmas, might actually do damage to those who don't share our same beliefs. They even said, you know, maybe there are some who can't put up Christmas lights or decorations on their homes this year because of COVID or because of financial difficulties. And so someone put these anonymous letters in their neighbor's mailboxes just in St. Anthony this week. And I try not to get too controversial in my homilies or offend too many people, but here goes. I thought that anonymous letter and the logic behind it was really ridiculous. Like the comment I received in seminary that we should be cautious of laughing too loud. We should be afraid of sharing too much joy, of putting too many lights or wreaths on our houses, because that might create division. That's what that letter said, that this might highlight division among our neighbors. I actually don't think lights on a house creates division. It might reveal something that's already there, but I don't think that act in itself is a harmful act. And both of these anonymous comments, the one I received in seminary and these letters, I think they have a similar idea behind them, that on some level we should be cautious with our joy. We should be somewhat afraid or nervous of offending someone because of something good happening in my life. And I was reminded by some words of Jesus in John's gospel from these episodes. These words came from Jesus right before his crucifixion. And he told his disciples, "You will have sorrow now," talking about leading up to his crucifixion, "but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Someone actually can't take my joy from me. They can't suppress it. they're not allowed to say, hey, don't be so joyful. don't be so out there. Jesus says, no one can take our joy from you. It's something actually that strikes at our core. It's actually something not that we can't cover up. It'd be like saying to a fire, hey, don't be so hot. Don't give off so much light. That's what a fire does. A fire produces heat. A fire produces light. And that's what a Christian does. A Christian shows forth joy. A Christian shows forth light and warmth in a cold world. Not to highlight ourselves, but to show the importance of who Christ is to us and how he actually extends that to all people. It's been said that joy is the infallible sign of the Holy Spirit. That if the Holy Spirit is in a soul, that soul will be joyful. It's an infallible sign of the Spirit's presence. And this is the message that we get on this Gaudete, this Rejoice Sunday. Isaiah gets us started here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And because of that Spirit, I rejoice heartily in the Lord. In my God is the joy of my soul. Isaiah had found that Spirit, and he couldn't hide it. St. Paul says something similar. He encourages the Thessalonians, rejoice always. Do not quench the Spirit. Don't hide it. Don't try to diminish the Spirit's activity in your life. Proclaim it. The joy of the Holy Spirit is something to be shared. It's not something that we should be ashamed of or fearful of. Then in our psalm, in our gospel, it's actually two different gospels. We get Luke today, we get Mary in the responsorial psalm, and in the gospel, we get the gospel of John and John the Baptist. We see these two figures, Mary and John the Baptist, and how they recognize the Spirit in their lives, and they share that. In Mary's Magnificat, this hymn that she sings to her cousin Elizabeth, she says, my soul proclaims or magnifies the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. Mary recognizes it's not anything in and of herself that she rejoices about. It's that the Almighty has done good things for her, that she had been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, that she was that dwelling place of God. And she rejoiced in that. She actually recognized her lowliness, that the Lord had chosen her of all people. It wasn't anything great about her. It was actually her lowliness that the Lord was able to fill with his great might and power. And John the Baptist recognizes this same thing. When they come to him today and ask him, who are you? Why are you doing all these signs? Why are you baptizing? Why are you trying to make this name for yourself? He actually doesn't point to himself. He points to another one. They say, well, are you the Messiah? No, I'm not the Christ. Are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the prophet? No. He keeps pointing out his unworthiness. He even says that one is coming after him, and he's not worthy to untie his shoes. John, too, like Mary, recognizes his insignificance, that he is the voice that will give utterance to the word. And the word is more important than the voice. But because John had that Spirit of the Lord upon him, he recognized that it's a great, joyful thing to announce the coming of the Messiah. That's what Christians do. Christians give voice to the word. We share the Spirit inside of us. We don't need permission to do that. We don't need someone to allow us to be joyful. It's just who we are, and it's what we do. And it's what we do in difficult circumstances, too. Christians don't always have a better life than non-Christians. We have sufferings. We go through terrible, terrible things. I know parishioners here who have buried family members this year. I know parishioners at St. Jude's who have gone through very, very difficult illnesses. They've lost their jobs this year. They've been persecuted, but they have joy. That's what we do as a church. We bring light where there's darkness. We don't boast of ourselves. Mary and John the Baptist, they didn't point to themselves in a boastful, showy way. They pointed to Christ. And they pointed to the joy that they had because of him. That's what we do. We rejoice because Christ has incorporated us into his plan of salvation. And we don't need permission to be joyful. So, brothers and sisters, as we get closer and closer to Christmas, the coming of our Messiah, our Lord, our friend, let's rejoice and show the world who he is.